welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books. We snap them open get to their hearts. Okay. It's not that violent.
I'm glad you're addressing it, though. It is kind of a crazy thing to say.
I know. I do like it. But I did. I also wrote a really emo poem, which I still have some fondness for, but I did have an emo little poetry phase in my undergrad, and I wrote this really... this poem that's just like about breaking spines it's a metaphor about like love and break that spine. I do like the violent imagery, actually. I think it adds a little I forgot to say, with your hosts Ariel Bissett and
Raylene. Hello.
Hello.
No last name given.
Just kidding. Yeah, I was like, wait, do we usually do the last name? No, we don't. I'm frazzled to all hell because let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, let's
here
get to it.
There was a hurricane, and I lost power for 3 days.
Oh my god. And when did it come back on?
2 hours ago.
We didn't know if we were going to be here today, folks.
No. So I texted Raylene last night, and I was like, Raylene, here's the situation. The power's been gone for 2 days. The power outage map thingy that will like tries to give an estimate, which I don't trust it because I think that, like, they were just so overwhelmed that like I don't think that it was actually saying anything. But like, yeah, I was like, the power outage thingy says we're not going to get power back until like today's nighttime. So like another day from when I texted you. And I was like, I don't think we can record because I literally don't have power, so I can't charge the camera, which had died a few days ago. I can't turn on my computer. I can't shower. I won't look good.
Yeah, we're so dependent on power.
Yeah, so I was just like, I really don't think that we're gonna be able to record. Let's check in tomorrow morning when you wake up.
Yeah,
so basically, because Raylene is 4 hours behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I was like, by the time you wake up around 9, it will be 1 p.m. here.
Yeah, so there's a chance.
And then maybe the power will have come back on and I can be like, Raylene, it's back on. Woohoo. Well, that did in fact happen. The power came back at 10:30. And for like half an hour, we just didn't trust it. Like, we were like, it's a dream. It's a beautiful dream.
Right,
but
like, I guess it could still just like, something could go wrong and it could just turn
totally
off.
It totally could. Yeah. So we were just like, I don't know. Like, it might, I was like, I'm not going to text Raylene until the power's been on for like an hour and it feels like, yes, this is real and stable and like it's not going to go anywhere. I haven't messaged Raylene. And then I finally am like, maybe I should message Raylene and tell her that I've got power back. I'm going to wait till noon. Because that's when we said, or no, yeah, we said like noon or 1,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I get a text from Raylene at 11:55 a.m. that says, it just says, you're never going to believe this. The power is out at my house.
I couldn't believe it either. And it, like, the power going out actually woke me up because I guess I had left my phone on the bed instead of on my side table. So when the power goes out, it, like, unplugs your phone. And so it vibrated to say, like, I've been unplugged. And so it kind of, like, jolted me awake. And I was like, what was that? And then I looked over at my alarm clock. It's dead. Like, there's no time on it. I was like, no. I tried to flick on my side lamp. I was like, the power is out. So I immediately texted you. I was like, I was just laying there like, I can't believe this. But it turned back on like 2 minutes later. So it was just a little blip.
I think it was gone for literally like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was nothing.
So it was a really, really funny 10 minutes.
I couldn't believe it.
Wait, no, yeah, I got your text that says, wait, it just came back on at exactly 12. So it was a 5-minute blip. But it was just so funny because we thought I was going to be the problem child.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Raylene was the problem child. And now I was already excited because I'd showered. I was like, I'm going to be clean
and ready. I mean,
it's
good. You got ready. You were ready to go. So it worked out.
So it's been a really, really hectic time. I feel really, really grateful that... overall, we got through the storm totally fine. It was a lot, not a lot, but it was definitely not as intense a storm as last year's hurricane.
Oh,
so
good.
Hurricane Fiona really ravaged the nation, whereas this one, Hurricane Lee, by the time it hit Nova Scotia, it had been downgraded to a tropical storm or a tropical cyclone, which, if I'm honest, like, I couldn't tell the difference between the two. When it's just, like, I guess the wind speeds or something.
Yeah.
But, like, I've never experienced hurricanes before living here.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever experienced one.
And I'd never experienced fire smoke until I lived in BC, right? So I guess everyone's used to their thing. But I thought that hurricanes were all about rain.
Mm.
There's very little rain. There's very little rain. It's all about wind.
Hmm.
And it's very, very scary. It's like so much wind that you really do feel like your roof is going to fly off or your house is just going to be blown over. And, you know, the thing is, you look outside and you don't realize how much trees can move until you're in a hurricane. Like, they are just completely... I'm like, it's just very scary. So...
Yeah.
It started raining on Friday afternoon, evening, and like really raining. And then the wind started that night. We lost power that night. Saturday, though, was the true day of the storm.
Yeah.
And it was so loud. It was so scary. And I did have a bunch of really, really big trees around my property. Mm-hmm. One of them split in half.
Oh my god, yeah.
And thankfully didn't land on anything. It didn't land on the house, it didn't land on a car, it didn't land on a person, it didn't land on power lines, which is a miracle.
Yeah.
And it didn't land on a road or like anything. So it's sad because I love those trees, but as far as things go, that's pretty okay.
Yeah. Scary to think that the wind can do that though.
I know. Exactly. I don't like exactly. That. It is spooky. And yeah, so all of Saturday was pretty stressful, but thankfully my brother's visiting, so it's kind of silly. My boyfriend's gone. He's like at a business thing, so he's out of town. My dad works out of province, so he's not here. So it was me and my mom and my brother, and thankfully my brother was visiting this weekend. My brother is so funny. CJ, who edits the podcast, he's, as you know, Ray, he's so funny.
It's hilarious.
And so... He really did a good morale boost, you know? Like, he was just really a good energy to have by when this was happening. So, super glad that he was here to help with everything. And we got through Saturday, and we were like, okay, that was the storm. Like, by end of Saturday, the storm was basically done.
Mm, very good.
But the power was still out.
Yes.
Wake up on Sunday, and it's sunny. Like, the sun was out on Sunday. It was very, like, it felt like a movie where it's just, like, the day after the storm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're seeing the sun again. We can be happy.
Yeah, exactly. The sun's out. People are all out. Like, everyone's out on their lawn picking up branches because there's so many branches down. Like, little ones, big, medium, like, just so many branches. Wood everywhere. And people are just, like, picking up their stuff and raking up their lawns and stuff. Everyone's out and about. And also, everyone's snooping, right? Everyone's snooping on, like, what's the big damage? What has fallen? What? So, there was a bunch in the, like, I mean, it happened everywhere, but, like, just a bunch of power lines came down. And I guess they were just like, this is going to be a huge thing to fix. Yeah. I think maybe some of the poles, some of the electrical poles, like, snapped and broke. And they were like, we just have to put in new poles and, like, rewire. It's just, like, a giant job. So all of yesterday, again, no power. So it was two full days of no power, and then it came back today at 10:30 a.m. We were really great, lucky, though, because my dad last year invested, right before Hurricane Fiona, invested in a generator.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually got the generator partly because he was like, you know, if we lose power, it would be really good to have these because we're on wells. So, like, we don't have water.
Right.
You know, like, there's all of these extra complications that happen. Like, we don't have anything if we don't have power. So he's like, it'll be good. But also because my parents are renovating their house. And when they got their house, their house it wasn't plugged to electric because it's like a giant reno project. So they were just using a generator. So thankfully we have this generator, which was enough to do two things. Number one, the fridge.
I was wondering so about the fridge.
That is huge. That's the big thing when a power outage goes, right? Like, so we got really lucky and the fridge was able to be kept okay, so our food was good. And then the second thing was plugging in the Wi-Fi, which sounds kind of like, oh, wow, what a priority. But because everyone in Nova Scotia lost power, everyone is on data, and therefore data was not loading.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't load anything. Mm. I couldn't send messages. I couldn't check in on what was happening. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so I powered up the generator, and I was like, I'm going to plug in the Wi-Fi and see if it works. Because, again, like, their bell towers could be down or whatever.
Yeah.
But thankfully, no. It totally worked. And we did have to... Because the other thing is, like, the generator runs on gasoline. And so we had a few tanks of gasoline. Once the gas runs out, Raylene, okay, fine. You just go to the gas station and get more gas. But the gas stations don't have power either. Yeah. So they can't give you gas.
Oh, no.
So we have to make sure that we don't run out of gasoline. So basically every 3 hours, I would turn the generator off for 3 hours. And we wouldn't have Wi-Fi. And we wouldn't open the fridge.
Oh, my God.
And then I'd turn it on for 3 hours and off for 3 hours and on for 3 hours. And, like, I'd be waking up. I woke up at 3 a.m. every night to turn it on or to turn it off. Yeah. And at 6 a.m. And I was just, like, not sleep. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's not
I'm fun. Exhausted.
It sounds like a horrible weekend.
It was pretty rough, but also there were some good core memories in there with my brother and with my mom and with the dogs. But the final thing I will say was that when the power did come back, I felt so happy and elated. And I was just running around dancing, doing a jig, and just super happy and lucky that it was only 2 days. Like, it could have been five. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, overall, not so bad. And, yeah, I just feel great. So
amazing.
I think you can tell from the video, it's like it's another sunny day, and I'm just like, that really does make all the difference.
Yeah, no kidding. It's not like raining or snowing.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so what's going on over there? How's your your power outage? Tell us everything.
Okay, well, my power outage is just a mere blip in my morning. It didn't affect me at all. So that, yeah, it's just not even a thing. And the highlights of my weekend were that Kyle and I organized some closets around our house.
Oh, that's big.
Because when we moved in, in at the very end of November last year. So we've been here like 10 months or whatever, coming up on a year. We just threw everything into shelves, like onto the shelves in the closets, and never organized them. And we just, for some reason, haven't done it yet. And it's been bothering me for a long time now. So I was like, we're just going to do this. So we took everything out of all of our storage closets, put it all in the living room, and then started organizing, started, you know, getting rid of things, etc. So we did that, which was really nice and, like, helped clear my mind. And then yesterday I made a pumpkin cheesecake. So... those are the two things I did this weekend.
That sounds amazing. I want a pumpkin cheesecake.
Yeah. I went to the grocery store like a week or two ago, and I found this magazine that's like fall cooking. And so it's just a bunch of great, like, fall recipes. And
at the grocery store?
Yes.
And okay, that's so funny because me and somebody were talking about who still buys magazines.
I know. I bought this magazine, and then I told one of my friends, and she was like, wait, I love magazines. What is this? Like, what's going on?
So wait, when would you say before this was the last magazine you bought? Like, when was...
Oh, it would have been like Teen Vogue when I was 14.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I was like really concerned for a second that you've been buying magazines all this time.
No. The only reason I bought this, and I wouldn't have even called it a magazine when I found it. Like, I just found it, and it's just like, oh, like a thin cookbook. It was just like a grouping of recipes that's like from, it's like from a website or something that they just like compiled into a magazine.
I think that's sick. I'm not against magazines. I just don't
Kind of am. I think magazines are sometimes kind of dumb, but like in this case, I was like, wait, this is amazing. And it's just like, it caught my eye because it was just called like fall favorites or something like that. And that's it's got a whole section on pumpkin. It's got a whole section on apple. It's got a bunch of soups in there.
Ooh, that's cool.
There's a
that's
beet recipe that I'm going to be making later this week. Pretty excited about all that. So
that's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
So
I think that's fantastic. And I really want to try pumpkin cheesecake. I've never had that before.
It's pretty good. I'll send you the recipe.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about reading.
Hell yeah.
I did not really honestly have a lot of reading time because I thought I would. Like, when the power went out, I was like, wow, I'm probably going to read so much this weekend.
It's going to be hilarious. I was thinking about that. I was like, are you going to just be, like, reading your Kobo the whole time? But I knew that you
I know. Wouldn't. That's what I thought. But then, there was two things that happened. Number one, I didn't have anything downloaded onto my Kobo. That was definitely hurricane prep. I literally have started a list called hurricane preparedness. One thing that I've written down is paper plates and cutlery. Because when you don't have water to wash dishes, they really load it up.
That's true.
That was that became an interesting little problem.
Yeah, it's a good backup plan.
I'm going to write that down. Download an ebook. Yep, that's good. That's going on the hurricane preparedness. Or two.
You never know.
So I forgot. I totally forgot about my e-reader. I just was like thinking about so many other things. And then at night, it's so dark. It's like funny how dark it is. Because like the streetlights are out.
Yeah.
There's no light. And it's like it's a little gray out, so there's not even any moonlight.
Yeah,
it's kind of spooky how dark it got.
Yeah, that happened once a few months ago, or I guess it was probably like winter time. The power was out when I was driving home one time, and I was like, why is it so dark around everywhere? Like it was spooky. And it caught me off guard because like
spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is spooky. And so basically the sun is now setting at like 7:30.
Mm.
By 8. It's done, guys. Go to bed. It's done. Because all I have is a flashlight. And I was like, well, I can't just keep this flashlight on for hours because we don't have more batteries.
Oh, no. Okay. Did you get batteries to your hurricane preparedness list?
Oh, my God. You're right. I haven't added it.
Get tons of batteries and extra flashlights, maybe, in case you do want to read.
Batteries for flashlights. Yeah. We have a lot of flashlights, which is funny. Oh, but we just didn't have any more batteries. Other things on my list were materials for sandwiches. That's the ideal meal.
Yeah.
Okay.
No cooking sandwiches, involved.
No cooking. Yeah. I made salad that involved no cooking. So we did eat fine. I had a rotisserie chicken that I bought as a preparedness item. Because I did do some preparedness, but it's just like when you're in the moment you realize other preparedness things you could have done. So I did get like a rotisserie chicken because that way it can just sit there and you can just pick at it for a couple days and just be in the fridge and stuff. Robust power bank. I've written on my list. You know, like a you know, power banks, obviously, you guys, like a external charger,
yeah,
a thing
like
that you
pre-charge
a battery. Yeah. So I have one. I'll show it just because it's here. I have this little pink one and it's pretty good. I like it. It's thin. It lasts. I think it probably could charge my phone like 2 times.
Okay.
I think I'd like to invest in one that could charge my phone like 6 or 10 times.
Ooh, yeah.
Just have it in my drawer, and before a hurricane's coming, charge that up, because that is one of the main anxieties, is like, what if my phone dies? And thankfully we were fine because we had the generator, but I think I'd like to invest in one of those.
Well, especially because if you don't know how long the power's going to be out for.
That's
like,
the
if
thing.
It's a week, like, that could be really bad.
That's the thing. I have also just been thinking a lot about solar panels. Mm. Because I'm like, I already want more to be on more green energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I have solar panels and a big battery installed in my house, suddenly power outages ain't no big thing anymore because I don't need the grid, Raylene.
So true.
I am the grid.
Hell yeah, you are.
So that was, the darkness, the literal just darkness was a big part of the reason that I didn't read that much. But then the other part was just that there are so many things to do during the day to keep the machine running.
Yeah.
And so, like, literally, we didn't have water because even though we had the generator, you can't plug the pump into the generator. And so we just didn't have water. And again, I had bought water bottles and, like, a big water thing beforehand. So we had water for drinking. But for, like, flushing the toilet, we just have to, like, pour water in there.
Oh.
And so my mom had very intelligently had a bunch of rain buckets outside to collect water. But once we blew through those the first day, we had to go behind my house and fill up buckets of water from the river.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
So like stuff like that just fills the day. And I'm like, okay, time to make the next meal and time to do this. So I just ended up not reading that much, but I did finish a book.
Oh, okay.
I read actually the entirety of 84 Charing Cross Road by Helene Henf. Helene Henf was born in 1916 and passed away in 1997. She wrote screenplays, TV scripts, nonfiction memoirs, and even children's books. She was born in Philadelphia but lived most of her life in New York. 84 Charing Cross Road is the compilation of letters between her and a bookshop clerk that spans 20 years, starting in 1949. So I actually read this on Friday night before the hurricane had started.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah. Or was it on Thursday night? It might have been Thursday night. I remember thinking about the hurricane, but I wasn't stressed about it yet. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, I think it might have been Thursday night. Guys, this is a new favorite. It's so good. So basically, I know I talked about it before, but just as a recap, this is the true story and the real letters between Helene Hanf and various different people, but mainly one person at this bookshop, Marks & Co., that is located at 84 Charing Cross Road. So all of her letters are sent to 84 Charing Cross Road, and that's why it's called that. So it starts, I think I did read the first letter last time, right? Yeah, it starts with her writing to them and being like, hi, I live in New York. I think she lives in Brooklyn. She's like, I live in New York. I can't find any of the books that I want here. And when I find them, they're all in these like terrible American editions. Like the British people, like she just likes British editions much more. She's like, I'm wondering if you have any of these books. And then she gets a response, and the guy's like very formal and very prim proper, because he's like it's like responding as the business, right? And he's like, yes, we have this one book, and we've included that, and this is how much you owe us. And then over literally 20 years, Raylene, they become like best friends, and they're updating each other. And it starts in 1949, right after obviously World War II, and not right after, but a few years after the post-war period. And it's really interesting because she'll send them gifts. She'll be like, I hear that you only get one egg a month. Is that true? I'm going to send you a bunch of eggs. Oh. Is it true that, like, and then in one letter, like, one of them mentions that they're really excited because they might get a new pair of tights, nylons. And she's like, this is insane. And she sends them, like, a bunch of nylons. And it's really beautiful. She sends them, like, ham for Christmas and all of the stuff that they can't get in England. So they love her so much. And she loves them so much because they get her such good books.
Yeah.
So if you are a book person, this, I just, it's such a romantic take on books and love of reading. And she gives some reviews of the books that she reads in there. And just casually, she'll be like, I read that one. It was terrible or whatever. It's also a lot shorter than I thought it was. It's actually less than half of this book that I have here. Or no, maybe it's half. It's half of this book. Then she wrote a sequel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. A couple years later, she wrote a sequel. And when she finally, actually, no, I'm not going to spoil anything. She writes a sequel. and I haven't read that yet. It's called The Duchess of Bloomsbury Street. Ooh. And I didn't realize I owned it. So they clearly doubled, they put both in here.
So the first book is what, like 100 pages?
Yeah.
Like really short?
It's really short. It's 126 pages.
Wow.
Or something? Yeah, it's really short. And then the next one is just another 100 pages. So
crazy.
Definitely want to read the sequel because I loved that first one so much.
Has that been adapted into a movie?
Yes. Okay, starring Anthony Hopkins, and I don't remember the woman.
Huh.
Very also, I read the audiobook. Well, I listened to the audiobook, but I also had the book with me. I was doing my little knitting project, which, by the way, I'm almost done. I will have it done for next episode. but I was working on my little knitting project and listening to this audiobook. And then when a thing would happen, I was like, oh, I want to read that. Like, I pick up the book and read along while they were reading and stuff. So I felt like I was reading and listening to it. And it was so good. It was full cast.
Oh, my God.
It was only 2 hours long. And it was so beautifully read. It was so much fun. They didn't ham it up too much. They didn't, like, it didn't feel cheesy. Because I don't know. Sometimes I find with audiobooks, like, they can just go over the top.
Yeah.
When it's, like, a full cast. But it was, no, it was just delightful. I literally cried at the end.
Aww.
I cried at the end. I just loved it so much. I thought it was so beautiful. It's so short, you guys. And I'm counting this as a classic.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because, yeah, it is, right? Like, I feel like this now has classic status. I think it was published in 1969? Oh, 1971.
I think that counts. That's over 50 years old.
Yeah, it's over 50 years old, and I really do feel like this is a modern classic. Yeah. Like, this is shelved in the classic section and stuff. So I'm going to put that towards my classics counter, which is exciting as well.
Heck yeah.
But I cannot give it a high enough praise. Like, I just absolutely loved it. And, oh, the other, I remember I wanted to mention this. perfect for fall. If you're looking for a fall autumnal book, this very much feels like a Nora Ephron. I couldn't not think about You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like obviously about emails and like two people falling in love. This isn't romantic. It really is platonic, like just about a really cool friendship.
Yeah.
But it has that vibe of like some like writing letters and sending books across the ocean. It just felt very autumnal.
I love that. It's nice to find an autumnal book that's not spooky, because that's
exactly
what people go towards.
Yes, it was not spooky in any way. It wasn't like a Halloween-y book. It was just more cozy in the way that, because there's cozy winter vibes and then there's cozy autumnal vibes. And I would put this on like a, because I could imagine her like walking down the streets of New York, like going book shopping. And that feels very Nora Ephron to me, which I really associate with fall.
Absolutely.
So did you finish anything this week?
Yes, I did finish reading Happiness Falls by Angie Kim, finally. Ooh. So I'll talk about that. As a preteen, Angie Kim and her family moved from Seoul, South Korea to the suburbs of Baltimore. She studied philosophy at Stanford University and attended Harvard Law School, where she was an editor of the Harvard Law Review. Her debut novel, Miracle Creek, won numerous awards and was named a best book of the year by Time, The Washington Post, Kirkus, and The Today Show. Happiness Falls is her second novel. So, yes, this one took me a couple weeks to read because I was also not reading that much for some reason over the past couple of weeks, but I did finally finish it, and unfortunately, I didn't like it nearly as much as Miracle Creek. Like, for me, Miracle Creek was one of my favorite books of the year when I read it. Like, huge praise for that one. And so I went into this one with pretty high expectations, which is often not a good thing to do to a book. But I was really enjoying it at the beginning. But like I mentioned, I did have some kind of problems with the writing. Like, there was way too much foreshadowing. And that kind of turned into me just not liking the main character's voice. Like, I didn't like the way the main character kind of narrated the book, because she narrates it as someone who has finished this story, like this little thing that's happening in her life has completed, and she's kind of reflecting upon it. But the whole book takes place over like 1.5 days. Like, it's it's a really short period of time, but the book isn't short. So like, it's she goes into like way too much detail. Because like, the main thing of the story is that her father is missing, and she just like overthinks everything. So she's like, okay, I shouldn't jump to conclusions, but this and this. And then she's like, okay, but I shouldn't jump to conclusions, but then she'll do it again, and she'll do it again. Like, she's just very annoying. And I don't know, it just felt very strange. And she also, like, she's 20, so I get it. She's supposed to be like a kind of like a teenage character who is just a little annoying anyway, but she was just so annoying and like so cynical. And like, everyone around her is trying to like be hopeful and, you know, be optimistic, but she's just like just downer on everything. And I just found it very annoying. Usually I don't mind that kind of thing, but for some reason in this book it was just like, no, like, I don't want to be inside of your head. Like, I would have rather read it from the mom's point of view or something like that. I just found Mia, the main character, to be very annoying. But the good things I'll say about this book is, similarly to Miracle Creek, it focuses on some kind of disability and kind of like brings it to light and talks about it, which I really liked. So I did like that aspect, because the main character has a twin brother, but she also has a younger brother who's like 15, and he has autism and Angelman syndrome, which makes it so that he can't speak. He has like motor difficulties. And so he was the only kind of witness to what happened to their dad. And so throughout the book, they're trying to find a way to communicate with him so they can try and understand what happened. And they start like learning about him and like what he's capable of, and things like, they underestimated him for a long time and all this kind of stuff. So it was kind of like inspirational in that way, and like sheds a light on something that people might not know a lot about, and I didn't know anything about. So I really liked that aspect of it, but it did feel like the kind of mystery story was just a vehicle for that. And I kind of wish it had just been, you know, kind of marketed more as that type of story. I don't know. It just felt kind of like the mystery wasn't actually the main plot at all. So it just kind of, it was like, I don't know. I didn't love it. I wish I had loved it, but I really, really recommend Miracle Creek. So if anybody reads this and are like kind of subpar on how they felt about it, I really, really recommend that you check out Miracle Creek, because it has similar themes. I just feel like it was done in a more successful way. So that was one of my most anticipated reads. So it was a little disappointing that I didn't love it, but I'm glad that I read it right away. That That did feel nice. We always love doing
I
that.
I can see that next book.
I'll just talk about it quickly. That. So I also read The Skull by John Clausen.
Oh my gosh.
Because my library had it. I immediately, after we recorded, I checked to see if my library had it, and they did. And so I picked it up a couple days ago, and then I read it yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And what I really liked about it, obviously the art is incredible. Like we've talked about, John Clausen has like the best art style. But the story, like you said, it's like a folk tale that he kind of has like retold in his own way. And what I really liked was the author's note at the end where he talks about that this was a story that he had read many years before and like was remembering it wrong, which I thought was really interesting.
That as well.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes you'll hear a story or read a story and just think that it is something and then sometimes it's not at all. And so he wrote it like this version of it is his version that he remembered. And it's like pretty twisted. Like the end.
Yeah.
I was like, spooky. Oh my God, this is pretty dark. Like, I don't know
it is
who this would be marketed towards. Like, it doesn't feel like a kid's book, even though it is a kid's book. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit spooky.
I think he mentioned it's either in the afterword or it's in an interview I read. Mm. I forget. But he talked about how he's like, it's definitely darker, but kids like dark stuff. Like, kids have a lot of children have like an interest in that. In that world of spookiness. And I'm like, it's so true. Like,
it's true.
Think about like Coraline.
Yeah. And like Spirited Away has been one of my favorite movies since I saw it when I was like 11. I was like a kid when I saw it. I might have even been younger than 11. I might have been like 9 or 10. However old I was in 2001. Yeah, I was really young. And I know a lot of kids like find that movie scary. Like I hear that all the time. Yeah. People are like, I showed Spirited Away to my kid and they were too scared. And I'm like, oh, I really liked it even when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like I liked the spookiness. So
yeah,
this has just always been in me.
I know that my mom always says, because me and my mom were really big Sailor Moon fans.
Ooh,
we were like really into Sailor Moon. And my mom always tells me how she like was talking to a mom, another mom, and my mom was like telling her how excited we were for that day's episode of Sailor Moon. And the mom was really judgy. She's like, oh, that show is way too dark to show to
Sailor Moon.
A young kid. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then when I watch back, some of the monsters are really disturbing, but they didn't feel scary to me. Like, it felt exciting and like epic.
And you always know that Sailor Moon is going to beat them. So you're never that scared of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And everything was so happy and pretty. Like, that show is just so jolly.
What a good show. It is such a good show.
But I also am currently reading a new book. So I will talk about that. So I'm reading If It Bleeds by Stephen King.
Cool.
Which is one of the books of his that I've been meaning to read for a while. This came out in 2021, I think. And it's 4 novellas. So I have so far read 2 of the novellas. I'm into the third one right now, which is the one that has the character Holly in it that I really like from the Bill Hodges trilogy.
Oh,
she's also in The Outsider. She's in this, and now she has her own book. So that's what kind of prompted me to read this. I was like, you know what? I need to finally read that Holly story. But I'll talk about the first two stories I've read so far. So the first one is called Mr. Harrigan's Phone, which has also been adapted into a movie that I hear is terrible. So don't go out and watch it. You probably won't like it. But the story was really, really good. So the main character is this kid who's like 9, and he lives in this tiny little town, population of like 600 or something like that. And he goes and he like gets a job reading books to this old man who like lives up the road. And he is like super against technology and all of this stuff. But at the beginning of the book, it's like 2003 or 2004 when the first iPhone comes out. And this kid like wins a little bit of money on a lottery ticket. And he's like, oh, I'll do something nice for Mr. Harrigan and I'll buy him a phone, because he's like, he would be so interested in this. And so that's kind of how it starts out. But then Mr. Harrigan dies, and then things get a little spooky involving the phone. So it's kind of just like this short, interesting little story about death and technology. And it was really cool. But then the second story was totally unexpected. It's called The Life of Chuck. And at the beginning of the story, it's like kind of giving this like post-apocalyptic or apocalyptic vibe. Like the main character's like, all right, the internet has been flickering on and off, and I think it's finally off for the last time. I don't think it's coming back on. There's like traffic is kind of crazy and the world is just all falling apart. And so that's how the story starts out. And I won't kind of say any more because it's really interesting to discover as you read, but the story takes on a totally different type of like vibe from then on. Like, it's that beginning of the story is totally not what the story is about. And it was so interesting when you kind of like realize what's going on. It was really, really cool. So I also really loved that second story. And now I'm into the third one, which is called If It Bleeds, which is about one of my favorite characters in Stephen King's universes. So I'm really excited about that. And it's just like about her trying to solve a mystery. So I'm really, really pumped about it so far. Like I his short fiction has been kind of hit or miss for me from everything I've read. Like I love some of them, but then others I'm like, I just have forgotten them. Like they've just gone from my brain. But I feel like all the stories that I'm reading from this collection so far are really memorable. And like, I think that this is probably one of my favorite collections of his shorter fiction. So far, really, really recommend it. And I'm excited to read more Stephen King this month and next month. Like I'm in the zone with Stephen King right now. So
I'm really okay. I actually, so when I was with Lena and we went to so many different bookshops, I kept looking for Misery and I never found it. Like they were just,
You don't have it.
They were sold. No.
Oh,
so I guess they were sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like if I read a Stephen King, I want it to be Misery. Top two horror movies of all time for me. So I feel like I would just really enjoy the book, and I've heard really good things about the book independently from the movie.
I think you would like
so
it
I
and
feel
I think
like I'd like it.
I've only seen the movie once, so I'm trying to like remember, but I think I remember when I watched it there was a few like distinct kind of moments that I was like, oh, they like changed that or like didn't quite do it the same way as in the book. So the book might actually like surprise you in some spots too.
That's
even if you've seen the movie.
That's really cool. Well, you know what just happened, you guys. My power went out again. We lost power. You didn't lose power this time. I lost power.
Yeah.
And my computer shut off and everything went to hell in a handbasket. The internet went off. And then, my brother had to do a thing before we could get on. So it's been almost an hour.
We just had a little break. Siesta.
A little siesta.
I just was reading my book, which is kind of funny. So
that's what's funny. Yeah. Because what I was talking about when the camera cut off was that the book I'm currently reading is A Guest in the House, which is now the last book I finished because I just finished it while I was waiting.
That's hilarious.
So now I am now going to review A Guest in the House by Emily Carroll. Emily Carroll is a Canadian writer and illustrator, primarily of horror stories. Her first published book, Through the Woods, was published in 2014 and is a collection of horror short stories. It won both the Eisner Award and the British Fantasy Award. A Guest in the House, published in 2023, is her latest book. As you all know, Raylene and I love Emily Carroll's book, Through the Woods, which we read, like, a decade ago now? That was a really long time ago. That actually is not a, quote-unquote relevant graphic novel anymore. I think it should be.
It should be. It's so good. We talk about a lot. We're obsessed
with
that.
We keep it alive here on the pod.
Yeah.
Whenever I found out, I don't remember now when I found out that this book had come out, or was coming out this year, but the second that I saw that Emily Carroll had a new gothic graphic novel coming out, I was extremely hyped. The tragedy is I didn't like it.
Damn it.
I feel so bad saying that. And I literally just filmed a clip for the patrons because I'm for our Patreon, we do a monthly reading vlog or bonus video, each of us do. And this month I'm doing a duo reading vlog with this graphic novel and another graphic novel.
Ooh.
And so I just finished it, and so I gave them a big update. And I talked in that video about how I feel bad. I feel bad when I don't like a book.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it's from an author that I really like, and Emily Carroll's Canadian, so that makes me feel even worse. Not that it matters, but somehow it does. So here's what I'll say. It's beautiful. Yeah. Emily Carroll is an incredible artist. I think that that goes almost without saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just show you any page from this book, and it's stunning.
Yeah.
She has such a beautiful use of color. Yeah, the color palette is so cool. The way that she tells the story with lots of different types of panel shapes and placements and everything is really beautiful. Dynamic. So it is gorgeous. I do wish the whole book was color. Like, it's one of those books where, like, most of it's black and white, but then there are some pages that have color.
I see.
But it kind of worked as well. I definitely don't think it was terrible. It worked because it is a horror, spooky book, and so having it be black and white just felt very spooky and shadowy.
Yeah.
However, the story I found very boring for the first two-thirds. There was this two-third, like, it focuses around the main character, who is this stay-at-home mom slash new wife. Like, she's just married this man, and she now has a stepdaughter. And she's miserable. She just seems really depressed, but I don't understand why. It's never explained. It's never explained why she's so sad, but she's just like a real downer. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna find out her backstory. Like, why is she upset? Why did she marry this man? It seems like they didn't date for that long. Like, how did they really meet? And you never learn that backstory. So,
that sucks.
First of all, I just felt like the characters ended up being really flimsy because I didn't feel like they had depth to them. I didn't feel like I cared about them particularly. And I was just like, the stepdaughter just felt like a classic stepdaughter. And the slightly abusive husband felt like a slightly abusive, like, it's like trope characters almost.
Right.
And then the story is that she's entered this family. She's now has this husband and this daughter, and they've moved to this house kind of in the woods. Classic. It's a horror movie or a horror novel. And she starts seeing the ghost of the first wife.
Okay.
Which is cool. A cool concept. Yeah. It's a spooky concept, of course. I felt like nothing happened with that. Like, it actually, like, the first time I saw the ghost, I was so excited. Yeah. And then I literally was bored of the ghost. No. I was like, it's just another boring character, really, like, ambiguous and spooky in a way that I was like, I don't get what's going on. And then the climax happened, and I was like, okay, wait, it got good. It got, like, kind of page-turning. And I was like, what's this ghost going to do? And then it just ended.
What?
And I was like, what? And I literally was like, I think I missed a page. Yeah, wow. I was so excited. I missed a page. And I start flipping back and I'm like, wait, no, I didn't miss a page. Wait, I don't get what happened. And so I look it up online. So many other reviews are saying the same thing. They're like, is there a page missing? I feel like I don't get the ending. What happened at the end? Shoot. And I'm like, oh, geez. So a lot of people in the reviews that I was reading, they were all like, I didn't really understand the story, but I'm giving it 4 stars because the art's so pretty.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, I don't think that's how, I don't know. Personally, with graphic novels, it has to be both.
Yeah.
And that's what's so tricky about graphic novels and why I love reading them so much, because it isn't just the story and the characters. It's also the art.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if you can't just have one be good, you need to have both be good,
beautiful,
which is so
art
challenging.
And no story is like the biggest disappointment, actually.
It's actually really disappointing because you're like, it's pretty, but what am I doing?
Nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt really upset that I didn't like it.
That is really sad.
But it's just the truth.
There you go.
I can't hide from the truth.
You can't do anything but spit the truth.
Oh, God, it's so true, Raylene. So basically, I'm now going to probably be reading Donuts and Doom.
Ooh.
Because this was my other kind of spooky graphic novel that I had. It stars, I believe it stars two witches.
Heck yeah.
So I think that'll be very cute, and we'll see how that happens. So
that's awesome.
That's kind of my bookish stuff for today. Did you have any other books you had to talk about?
I did buy a couple. So
let's see. What
and this actually, it's funny that you mentioned your Patreon video, because I was also going to mention my most recent Patreon video that will be out by the time this goes live. I have done a gigantic Stephen King video for the patrons where I talk about all of the Stephen King books I've read, you know, recommendations for where to start, what books I still have on my TBR, etc. And
fun.
In that video, I was getting ready to go out and try and find a couple more Stephen King books, like books that I was excited about. And so in that video, I kind of go on a little adventure, which is fun too. So I did end up finding three Stephen King books, that two that I was looking for, one that I wasn't looking for, but bought anyway. And so the first one that I got is Full Dark, No Stars, which is another collection of novellas. So kind of funny that I'm reading If It Bleeds right now. But this one starts out with the story 1922, which I read a couple of weeks ago. So now that I have this like full collected version, I can give that copy to one of my friends or something, because I don't need to have two copies of it. So I'm really excited, because I liked it so much that I was like, you know what, I want to read more of his novellas and short stories. So I went hunting for that one and luckily found it. And then I also got Under the Dome, which is a big, big honker. And this one, I've been meaning to read this one for a really long time, actually, because I watched the show like 5-6 years ago, whatever, whenever it came out. And It was kind of silly, but I really liked it. Like, it was fun. And so I have been meaning to read this for a while. So I picked that bad boy up. But then when I was at the store, they also had Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to The Shining. So I was...
Totally.
That one I've been kind of waffling over. Do I want to read it? Do I not want to read it? But I've heard enough good things about it that I'm like, you know what? I do want to give that a try. And I've been wanting to reread The Shining for a while too. So when I eventually do decide to read this, I'll reread The Shining as well. And then just like watch both movies, make it into a big thing. So yeah, cool. I was excited about that. So now I have even more Stephen King on my shelf. Just so much. And I still have so many more that I need. What I discovered is I've read about half of his books.
Like
40. But like, he has so many books.
I really would have guessed that you were somewhere closer to 80% having read his books.
He has so many more books than you could ever dream. Like, every time I look up a list of his books, I'm like, wait, there's like dozens that I haven't even thought about that I just forget exist. That's so funny. Yeah.
That made me think about, doesn't Chapters give me like a juicy discount for my birthday or something?
They should.
Doesn't it do a birthday thing?
They definitely do. Maybe? I think they might give you like a certain amount of points or something, like $10 worth of points that you can use within your birthday month.
Okay, so maybe I'll get Misery with my birthday points.
You should. They have such really nice editions of Misery now that you're probably only likely to find new. I mean, like, there's a pocketbook version that matches with all of his, like, new kind of pocketbooks, which I really like that edition of Misery.
The and then blue
there's
the one
I have that's, like, that kind of dark, like, bluish purple that's just, like, snow, and it's very mysterious. So Chapters should have both of those.
You have reminded me. I got a book in the mail. Let me see if it's right here. If it is, I'll show it off. Aha! I got this the post, and I know what it is, and I saved it for the podcast.
Well, this is perfect.
Get ready. This is pretty exciting. It is a physical version. Oh, this is a proof version. Okay. Whoa. I thought this was a finished version. It has all the beautiful colors in it, though.
Wow.
Oh, that is pretty.
Gorgeousness.
Cool. Well, my hunt continues on. I thought that this was going to be the finalized version.
Not yet, my friend.
Not yet. Well, it is out now. This came out on September 5th, as this giant text tells me on the back. This is a pretty nice arc, though. I might just keep this as my finished copy.
Why not?
It looks really, really beautiful.
Shiny.
But yeah, we love you, Brenna. Good work.
That is really nice. Woohoo!
Yeehaw! All right. Well, before we sign off, Raylene has a little book game for us to play. Shall we?
Let's do it. Okay. So this book game, it's kind of stupid, but we're going to do it anyway. So I have called this Name That Series. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, I have three that I've chosen for today. This is a very repeatable game.
Nice.
So three different series, and you have to tell me what the titles are of all the books in the series.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So I like it.
Yeah. So I'm starting it off with two series that are not books that you've read. So it's kind of like a little test. Oh. And then the last one is going to be maybe hard, but it is ones that you've read. So let's start off with a trilogy. The King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss. What are the names of those books?
So first of all, I have no idea. And I'm assuming that these must be the ones that you like because I don't know anything else by Patrick Rothfuss.
Yes.
So The Name of the Wind.
Uh-huh.
The Wise Man's Fear.
Ooh, well done. And the third one isn't out yet. So this is kind of a tricky ask.
Okay, so the third one isn't out, which is what I thought. I was like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't exist.
It does not, sadly.
The Brave Man's Hunger.
I love that guess. I wasn't expecting you to get the third book, so you've nailed it. The third book is presumably going to be called The Doors of Stone.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and it's actually cool. If you look it up on Google, there's like a fan-made cover that honestly looks like the cool... Like, I really hope the cover looks even remotely like this because it's like pink and beautiful and so, so good. Okay, I give that a big check mark. You nailed that
thank
one.
You.
Because I was not expecting you to know that. Okay, series number two.
Okay.
A Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh.
By George R. R. Martin.
I was really hoping you were going to just do, like, The Hunger Games or something.
I'm not going to do anything super easy.
Okay. Game of Thrones is the first one.
Yep.
Shoot.
That's so funny. I can't blanking. Wait.
You've got to know picture... at least one other.
Yeah.
And I'm only expecting you to know the five that are actually out. I don't even know what the future ones are going to be called.
The Way of Kings? No, that's nothing.
That's Brandon Sanderson. That's something different.
Oh, Christ. Wow. Storm of Shadows?
Ooh, so close.
A Storm of Sword and Shadows?
Is this into Sarah J. Maas book?
Crap.
That's really funny. They're all very simple. It's a blank of something, or a blank for something. Or
a blank with something. The Winds of Winter? The Winds of Winter?
That's actually one that isn't out yet, so that's a good guess. That's like the next book.
The Shadow of Doubt.
You can give up at any point.
I can picture them. There's like the yellow one and the green one and the red one.
Well, at
and
least
the
blue you know that one. Much. You're halfway there.
Nope.
I'll give you the first word of the second
book. Dragon. A Dance with Dragons.
There you go. That's book five. So you're just missing the three middle ones. I'll give you the first half of each one.
Yeah.
Book two is A Clash of...
Kings?
Yes. Book three is A Storm of...
Shadow?
Swords. You're close.
Damn it!
And then the fourth one is A Feast for...
Crows?
Yeah! A Feast for Crows and Ashes.
I think I failed that.
You kind of failed that one. Okay. That's kind of funny. I wasn't sure how that one was going to go. Here's one that I'm kind of throwing you a bone, but also I'm curious to see if you know this, because I was trying to think of this and I couldn't
You're
name all of
You're
going to
do Anne of Green Gables,
no,
aren't you?
No, that's a good one, though. Oh, thank God. No, this next one is A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket.
Whoa,
there are
13
books. There are 13 books, and I want to see how well you remember them, because I was blanking when it got to, like, number 7.
Okay, let's see. The Bad Beginning.
Yep.
The Austere Academy.
Oh, you're going all over the place. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. You're going
so far two for two.
Ersatz Elevator.
Mm-hmm.
The End.
Yes.
That's the 13th one. What's the second one?
Just imagine the movie. The movie is the first three books.
I know. Exactly. The second one is with Josephine, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's number three.
No, that's the third one. Ooh. I remember such random ones.
I know, you went all over the place. I was kind of like that too, though. I remembered like number four.
It's going to be so frustrating because you're going to say them and I'm going to instantly I know that. Jeez. Oh, there's the circus one.
Yeah, what is that one called?
The Creepy Circus.
Oh, yeah, I would have never remembered this.
Okay, tell me the circus one. I won't
it's
remember
It's the Carnivorous Carnival.
Carnivorous Carnival.
I would have totally forgotten that.
Classic. Okay, second book. It's The Chamber of Secrets, is it?
Yes!
I give up.
Okay, I'll read through them for you. So you've got The Bad Beginning, The Reptile Room.
The Reptile Room.
The Wide Window.
The
Miserable Mill.
Yes,
The Austere Academy. Course. The Ersatz Elevator. The Vile Village.
Vile Village.
The Hostile Hospital.
Wouldn't have remembered
that. The Carnivorous Carnival, which is impossible. Yep. I think that was the first one I read, actually, which is kind of funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Number 10 is The Slippery Slope. Then The Grim Grotto. The Penultimate Peril. And then The End.
Damn. So how many did I get? Four?
I think you got four, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fail. That's a big fail. That's okay. That was fun, though, actually, to try and
think
through
those. Test your knowledge a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's juicy stuff.
I want to say well done, but you failed a little.
Yeah,
but you did okay.
I am notoriously not a fan of series, though.
It's
so
true.
I
That's also
kind of
why
no
this
guilt.
Is a funny challenge.
I don't read them. I'm like, why can you not concise it down to one book? I don't understand.
Come on, Lemony.
Come on. Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. All right. It's time to come to the end of this very messy, hurricane-ridden episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and listening and hanging out. Yeah, just listening to this crazy little episode. Obviously, my heart's out with everyone in the Maritimes, but also anyone. I mean, the hurricanes all come from the Caribbean, right? Like, they come up. So everyone that was at all affected by Hurricane Lee, I'm with you, buddy, and it's gonna be okay, and we'll make it through it. So thank you so much, and we're gonna go record our Patreon mini podcast the movie tub, and we'll talk to you there. Bye.
Bye.